in Awka, in Anambra State, in Southeast, Apostle Joshua Sermon. Can we receive him with a louder celebration? Church, you want to hear you.
Praise the name of the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Let's keep standing. I don't know how many of you were blessed, but I was remarkably imparted by this session with Dr. Cosmas. Let's honor him again. Such a phenomenal time challenging our hearts. Hallelujah. It'll be a very brief session. In fact, to confess to you, I kept prompting the pastor and I told him, I said, listen, I'm not sure that there would be any need for me to come up. We can always prepare for the night. I think that we have been blessed. If anything, maybe just for us to pray. And they insisted that at least I'd come share something. It will be very brief. I will just lead us through a prayer session and then prepare our hearts for the evening so that we can go and rest and then return for an experience. But thank you so much again, Pastor Obi. May the Lord bless you and your dear wife. Please be seated. I honor everyone again, our Vice Chancellor, and every other person who was earlier acknowledged. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. I intended to charge our hearts this morning on the power of knowledge, but I'll reserve that for the evening. Remember, we began by discussing the keys that help to be able to host the move of God within our lives and within our territories. And yesterday we considered the power of brokenness, how that it will take broken vessels to be able to host the power, the grace, the wisdom of God. Brokenness is a state of recognition where your everything belongs to God, where you have lost the ability to tell God no. That you get to a point in your life where what drives you is his interest, not just your agenda. Hallelujah. Jesus showed us brokenness when he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. But he says, nevertheless, not my will. That is the language of broken people. This may be what I intend for my life, but not my will, that yours be done. That was why I was so touched when our father was giving a very phenomenal charge here. For me, it was not so much of his preaching, but you could see a man, you could see the purity of his conviction, that this man truly believes the things that he was saying here. It was more than a sermon, it was an impartation. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So brokenness is very important. Maybe I'll say a word or two about knowledge to introduce us to what we'll be discussing tonight. Knowledge is very, very important. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. Knowledge is powerful. Let's read together. One, two, read. God called, can we do KJV media? Thank you. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. One more time. God called the light. The Bible shows us here very clearly and powerfully so that when you say a man is living in his day, it is not just the passage of time, that defines day in the realm of the spirit. It is the presence of light. That means no matter how long time passes, if light is not there, God does not call it day. Now, geographically speaking, once it is from 6 a.m. to maybe about 6 p.m. or maybe let's say 3 p.m. based on our own time zone here, we say it is day. And then once it's from 6 p.m. down to maybe 5 a.m. in the morning, we call it night. But that is geography. The Bible here says the definition of a man's day is the presence of light. So for as long as there is no light, you are still in the night. He says he called the light day and the darkness he called night. So even if it is 6 p.m., even if it is 12 as you know it, once there is no light, you are still in the night. And the Bible says that weeping endures for as long as you are in your night. So for as long as there is absence of illumination that can turn your night to day, you will remain perpetually in darkness and in weeping. It was God who called it. That every time a man is tired of his night time, he does not wait for time to change it. He brings light. The moment light appears, night must become day. So you don't choose day by the rotation of time. You choose day or night by the absence or the presence of light. It then means that if light remains with an individual forever, that person cannot have night. Because he called the light day and the darkness he called night. There are many things that happen in the day. The day, for instance, is the moment where we receive and manifest the things that have been given to us. Your Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. He never said the night that the Lord has made. There is joy with every day. I will rejoice, it says, and I will be glad in it. So your joy is connected to your day. If your day never breaks forth, there is no joy. Sadness and gloominess remains for as long as there is night. The difference between you and anyone you admire, the difference between you and anyone you honor and respect, be it in ministry, be it in business, the difference is knowledge, light. Primarily light. The Bible says an heir, for as long as he's a child, it says that he differeth not from a slave, even though he be lord of all. What is the difference between an adult and a child? When I was a child, the Bible says, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. It says, but now that I have become a man, I have laid aside these childish things. There are many believers who want to step into higher levels of grace, prosperity, influence, increase. But then most of us have not given ourselves to the covenant of accessing light. John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Isaiah chapter 60, popular scripture from verse 1, it says, arise, arise and shine. Not because you are tired of sitting there. Time does not lift you up. You arise and you shine only when your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Every time I read this scripture, I like to make reference to the Amplified expression. Here's what it says. Arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. It says, rise to a new light. Arise. Shine, for your light is come. The Bible records several miracles that were performed by Jesus in his earth walk. And very clearly from scripture, there were times that certain people were not healed. There were times when Jesus would heal one or two people out of a bunch of sick people. But there was one miracle that Jesus never saw and left unattended to. The miracle of blindness and the miracle of madness. These two miracles caught his attention every time. Every time he saw a blind man, he was always apt to respond to that individual. Every time he saw a madman, he ensured and insisted that that man would return back to sanity. Because the worst thing that can happen to a man is madness and blindness. These are the faculties that are responsible for victory. Are we together? The assignment of the God of this world is to blind the mind of God's people, to cast a spell upon their understanding so that they either believe a lie, you see that now, and that your life will eventually become an expression of your construct, your understanding. It takes more than desire to host the power and the grace of God. In the story of the wife of the sons of the prophets in 2 Kings chapter 4, when you read, the Bible says there was a woman who ran to the prophet Elisha and she said, remember, my husband was your son and now he's died and he's left dead for me. Listen carefully. And she was lamenting her situation because the creditors had come to take her children away. Her children representing her future. Her children representing the continuity of her relevance. They were coming to take them away. And the Bible says very clearly that the prophet made a very serious statement. And he said, all right, what do you have in your house? And here's a statement that she made. She said, nothing except. Nothing except. And while she was speaking, the oil that had the capacity to make her free was listening to the conversation while she called it except, while she called it nothing. The moment she told the prophet that there was oil, the prophet said, I know what your problem is. Your problem is that the oil is assuming the shape of the vessel you put it into. The oil is not small, but the oil is limited by the size of the vessel. He said, you don't need more oil. Go and do something about the capacity. He says, go and borrow vessels. Borrow not a few. In your panting for capacity, he says, go all the way. And when she had borrowed the vessels, he said, now watch the miracle. And he began to pour the oil. And the Bible says she beckoned on her children. Is there no more vessel? Said there is none. And the oil stopped. So the anointing and the engracing that comes upon your life, which defines your relevance as far as God's program is concerned, is it will, among other factors, depend on your level of spiritual enlightenment. No matter how you pray and desire God, Dr. Cosmas taught us very powerfully. He lifted his Bible and shouted it again. He said, I have found this. You could see a man whose mental construct has come out of scripture and his life is becoming everything that the word of God says, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, the Bible says, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. The Bible prays, and Paul himself, praying over the church in Colossae, he prayed once and again, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, crying to the God of our Father that they be filled with three dimensions of knowledge. Number one, the knowledge of his will. Number two, all wisdom. Number three, spiritual understanding. It was his prayer. Are we together now? So we are in a season where believers must be insistent on turning their nights to day by contending for high level spiritual illumination. I repeat, high level spiritual illumination, not useless knowledge. Because there is a kind of knowledge that is not profitable as far as life and destiny is concerned. Are we together? We must begin to be intentional about culturing our thoughts through light, to come to a point where our mindsets, now enlightened, can become worthy hosts for the power and the grace and the glory of God. You will be surprised that as yielded as you are, God may not be able to do much with you, because the requisite level of enlightenment that makes for carrying the power of God is not in your life. Empowerment without knowledge and transformation will confuse you and bring you largely into extra biblical practices. This is one of the things that we suffer in the Church of Christ in this nation and across Africa, because through hunger and prayer and fasting, you find out that people begin to delve towards the power of God, and they carry mysterious anointings and graces that they do not have the knowledge base to defend nor administer intelligently. So people carry gifts, the prophetic, they carry all kinds of gifts, but you see that in dispensing those gifts, they do not work with the jurisdiction of Scripture, because knowledge is absent. Look at the ratio of knowledge to impartation. Jesus took 3.5 years to teach the disciples for one night of impartation. 3.5 years of consistent mentorship every day for one night of impartation. I assure you by the Spirit of God that there are many things we do not know that we need to know. This conference should bring us to a point of humility and brokenness, where we admit by God that there are many things that I do not know. The first kind of knowledge is the realization of your ignorance. If you maintain the faculty to even realize that you are ignorant in a place, in an area, it is deliverance itself. Because that posture now brings you with meekness, like Colossians 3:16 would say, to receive with meekness. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. But it only comes to a heart that is meek and ready to learn. Some of us here are preachers. Some of us here are businessmen. Some of us here are students. Some of us here are career people. I submit to you, dear people of God, that the difference between where you are and where God desires and intends to take you is not just His will, it's not just time, but you're accessing high-level spiritual illumination, the kind of knowledge that is able to translate you to become the manifestation of prophecy. I'm very passionate about the areas that I do not know anything about. And when I find information that can build my understanding and fade away ignorance in my life, I do not take it for granted. Some of you are business people, and you have done everything you know to do as far as excelling to represent the purposes of God in the area of business. Here is a man that God has brought with a proven track record. Can I tell you this? When you are a student, you are not given the liberty to edit what you are being taught. You listen with your heart open, trusting the wisdom of the teacher. It is pride for a student to begin to edit his teacher's understanding. When you now command results, you sustain the power to now edit. You can be a Berean and compare with Scripture. But can I tell you, when you see people who have results, beware of editing knowledge when you have not produced results. Many believers do not produce results because they tamper with the equations. Those who have the results did not have it by luck. The Bible says he that strives for mastery is not crowned unless he strives lawfully. The vice chancellor is here of your prestigious university, for instance. I am sure and I believe that this man can be sent anywhere around the world to go and set up an institution and set up a university, and he will reproduce that result verbatim. You know why? Because what makes him who he is not the title, is the knowledge bank. Are we together now? God in this conference is bringing us to points where we attack ignorance in our lives, or we attack limited knowledge. I would always give this example back home. A student who scores 9%, a student who scores 13%, listen carefully, a student who scores 26%, and a student who scores 30%, who was the highest of the four? The one who scored 30, is that two? But in a grade system of A, B, C, D, E, F, I believe that all of them failed. So who succeeded based on that grade system? All of them. This is the danger of mediocrity. You can still be within the F grade, but just because you have the highest score, you can believe you are doing well. But when life now comes to rate, you will find out that both the highest and lowest are in the same category as far as excelling is concerned. So he beckons upon us, even though champions in our own different nooks and crannies, he's lifting you to leave that level of comparing yourself with yourself and rise up to a reference where God can use you at a global scale, that anywhere you go, you still become a reference because you have attained unto a standard and a stature that you do not need to be ashamed of again. Is someone learning? So my charge to us is that there is need for knowledge. Please let me plead with you in the name of Jesus. Don't come and sit down in this conference hoping to learn one or two things. That is pride already. Let us admit that there are many things we do not know. I'll show you one more scripture and then we'll pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. I'd like us to read together. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2. Ready? Let's read. One to read. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. The student who fails an exam does not have to score zero to fail. He just did not pass enough to meet the cutoff point. Life and every result you desire has a cutoff point of knowledge. You don't just gain knowledge the way you want. You gain knowledge to the degree needed to produce the result you desire. There are many of us here, respectfully speaking, you are a ministry. There are clearly things that are not working. Let's stop argument and sit down and learn the principles of the kingdom. There are some of us who may be failing, say, in our area of finances. It would be unwise to come and argue and wonder, okay, let me hear. No. There are some of us who are trusting God to excel in career. We must be open and we must be receptive. That as the word of God comes, all through the sessions left, we must realize that results are not accidental. I repeat, results are not accidental. Whether financial results, whether ministerial results, whether results of influence. When you watch masters, act, whether music of the masters for those of you who are music inclined, or when you watch a professor maybe delivering a lecture, or when you watch a successful businessman talking to prodigies. Usually, masters, they are so used to winning that it's easy for them to jump steps and speak. It is up to you as a student to realize that that person did not attain onto that level by luck. And it is your determination to listen, to ask questions, and to focus on what they are saying. You will pick more things even through the lines of what they are saying. That is the attitude of a student. Let me tell you why many people do not receive in ministry, in business. Do you know why replication is very difficult? Replication of anything is very difficult because most people who are in need of results are proud. Most people who are desperately in need of results are proud. I have seen people who, respectfully, they are trusting God for more anointing, more graces, activations of things in the realm of the spirit. But when they come into an atmosphere, not just a meeting like this, generally speaking, you can see that air of pride. You don't receive that way. I've seen poor people who are broke and struggling. They cannot give anything significant to the kingdom, but they can come and hear millionaires and billionaires, successful people talk, and they are trying to edit what they are saying with an empty bank account, with debt on their heads. There are many students who will listen to a professor speaking, one who has been accredited at a global scale, and laugh and try to edit and vet what they are saying. Can I tell you this? If there is any prayer we have to pray as we round up this session, is Lord, grant me the humility to acknowledge my ignorance and the fortitude to press for knowledge that produces provable results. When I sit before the great, I don't contribute, I learn. When I sit before champions, I don't sit as a colleague, I learn. I'm not embarrassed acknowledging my area of ignorance, and I ask them questions. Because if I knew better, I would not be where I am. Can I tell you, kill all the excuses. If you don't have results, you don't know enough, period. Apostle, is because my church is in a location, it's a lie. You don't know enough, period. Apostle, the anointing is just that the Holy Ghost has not come yet, but the healing prophecy is there, period. You don't have the results. It's as simple and as honest as that. Apostle, there are all kinds of demon spirits, but is it my destiny to be a millionaire? Are you a millionaire now? If your answer is no, just keep quiet. Prophetic millionaire in Christ? Yes. Realistically, are you? No. Sit down quietly and learn. Is someone, I hope you are not offended. There is a statement where I come from, that if you have the humility to ask for the way, you will never be lost for too long. If you have the humility to ask. Do you know, I look at my life today, and I look at 10, 15 years ago of my life. I was still in ministry, but I am amazed at the level of ignorance relative to the knowledge I have now. That in the last 1-2 years, maybe 3 years of my life, I probably have learned more in these 3 years than I know in my entire lifetime hitherto, combined together. There is always more. Even in heaven, there is still room to come up hither. Seated in this place this afternoon are prophets, apostles. Some of you are mighty generals in the making. I do not downplay the prophecy upon your life. I do not downplay. Some of you are campus leaders. Some of you are leaders of prayer groups. Some of you are business people. Some of you have tasted of certain levels of success. But can I tell you, this is a gathering of champions where you are being filed for more. Do not allow what you have attained stop you from attaining what you need to attain. So this is my charge. Lord, we confess that we are ignorant. It's not self-condemnation. We do not know enough. Number two, and you see, when you teach what you learned, that is theory. When you teach what you have had the results of, that is what imparts. There are many people, our knowledge is theory. We know this. It's like somebody who has watched a video on driving. He can talk so well, you would think he has been driving for a long time. Give him a car. And you will see how helpless theory is. That is why in the university system or in most systems of learning, when they teach you the theory, they now create a system where you have to simulate reality for you to learn. Apostle, the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed. I agree. Are you well now? If you are not completely well now, like the Bible says, then sit down. There is something you have not found. Apostle, the Bible says, the cattle on a thousand hill belongs to the Lord. Has your own reached you? Do you even know how to climb the hill and bring it down? Apostle, I know I'm a prophet. I'm even invited for small meetings now. Is that how you want to remain? Out of 12 prophecies you gave, only 2 were correct. Sit down. I congratulate you for starting, but sit down. Apostle, the healing anointing is at work in my life. You prayed for 10 people. How many of them were healed? 2. Sit down. That report card is not the type that will bring a revival. I'm showing you how I think. I thank the nations for all of the wonderful things that they do in and through my life. But every time I stay before God, I tell him, Lord, please show me the things I do not know. I will not be embarrassed. Can we pray? Please rise up on your feet. 2 prayer points within 1 or 2 minutes. Prayer point number 1. Lord, I open up myself and I confess that I do not yet know as I ought to know. Someone lift your voice and pray. This is not self-condemnation. It's an acknowledgement. Someone pray. I do not know enough in ministry as I ought to know. I do not know enough as far as hosting your power and manifesting signs and wonders is concerned. I do not know enough as far as prosperity and the dynamics of wealth is concerned. I do not know enough as far as the manifestation of the word is concerned. Lord, thank you for that which you have shown me. Thank you for the results I've seen so far. But I confess that I need to know more. I have exhausted the validity of my knowledge so far. Someone is praying. Grant me grace. Somebody is praying. I'm tired of assuming results. I'm tired of dreaming results. I'm tired of wishing results. I'm tired of hoping for results. Lord, I want my life to be a perpetual manifestation of the multifaceted dimensions of the excellence of the kingdom. And that comes through high level illumination. Teach me what I need to know. You are the rabbi, the wisdom of God. Teach me what I need to know in this conference. Number 2, the last prayer point, and we're done. Please look at me. There were certain people who were always in Jesus's meetings and yet they never received. They were called the scribes, the Pharisees. When Jesus met sinners, he was quick to bless them because there was the brokenness and the malleability of heart. They admitted their states, but every time he met those who felt they knew what to do, he left them in their ignorance. Are you ready to pray? Lord, give me humility of heart, that if and when these truths come, no matter how uncomfortable they sound, may I obtain the humility to receive them. For some of you, this truth will come as chastisement. For some of you, this truth will come as a rebuke. For some of you, this truth will come as an encouragement. For some of you, this truth will come as a challenge. Albeit, oh God, I open my heart with no offense to receive. Let this be like the threshing floor of Naboth, where you will make me and prune me. No champion is trained at their own terms. No champion is trained within the confines of their own convenience. You must be stretched to do more. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now, at the permission of your pastor, may I request this, who have a session in the evening. I'll have the time to teach further. And then tonight, I hope that God will grant us grace to minister to the sick and then minister deliverance to the oppressed. But as I would always do, may I request that all of you, including those who might not be here physically, please write your prayer requests. Everything you are trusting God for and everything you are tired of, circles that must come to an end in your destiny, I want you to write them as a proof of your faith and to bring them in the course of the service. Hopefully we'll collate them here, and I'm going to stand in faith with you praying over these things. There is the God that answers prayer. It says, unto you that answers prayer shall all flesh come. But for now, I pray that the hand of God will rest upon you, that in addition to all that we received from Pastor and all that we received from Dr. Cosmas, and now this cup, in the name of Jesus, may your life never remain the same. Go from grace to grace, go from glory to glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.